Hey, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent. I'm here with Alan. And we do this podcast because we want you and your church to endure. We want you to be able to thrive for the long haul and to do well. We want your ministry to be blessed for a long time. And Alan, today as we talking about ministry and the things that we do as pastors, I know that you have a heart to protect your athletes and your people. And so let's kind of tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, we want to talk about our role kind of as pastor, as protector. And a couple of reasons that that's been on my mind. One of those reasons is what I have to do as a coach. You know, every year when I go through my coaching certifications and plans, I have to have concussion training every single year. Every other year, I have to have, you know, CPR and first aid training. I have to know all the signs for heat stroke and all these kinds of things to protect my athletes. And sometimes that's to protect them from themselves. Other times it's to protect them from other elements. But I have a responsibility as a coach to protect the athletes on my team. And the same is true as a pastor, you know, whether we take that coaching model that you and I have talked about in the past, or we take the shepherd model that the Bible often uses in pastoral ministry, we have a responsibility as a pastor to protect our flock. We're the responsible ones for that. And that's one of the things I do think that God will hold us accountable for.
Alan, I think you're right. And that can weigh heavy on our shoulders, right? As we think about the responsibility that you mentioned that we have for our flock. And so today we want to talk through, you know, what does that mean? How do we handle that? And so you mentioned, Alan, that we are responsible for our flock. And the Bible talks about us as under shepherds. And so, you know, as we think about the people in our churches, as pastors and as leaders, who are we supposed to protect our flock from? As you think about your folks, who do they need protection from?
Well, there's, you know, the easy answer is to talk about the role of Satan and all that, right? That we're to protect them from the enemy. I mean, that's kind of, I think, where our first thought goes. And that's probably appropriate because he, you know, he's wicked. He's full of schemes and he wants to harm people.
Well, and you know, he uses lots of different tools too. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, one of the first thing that comes to mind, Alan, is that as a pastor, I've had people just show up that I know nothing about that say, God told me I'm supposed to speak to your church. And I just kind of laugh and I'm like, well, when he tells me that, then we'll talk, you know? And so we're to protect our people in lots of different ways. And so, yeah,
Satan. You don't let just everyone speak, Trent?
No, not even. Oh my gosh.
That's a great example. I mean, yeah, we have a responsibility to protect our flock, and that's kind of what we're supposed to do. And you know, there are so many schemes of the evil one out there. He uses so many of the things, and we could certainly talk about just those things all day long. But sometimes we have to protect our people from themselves too, though, don't we?
Yeah. You mentioned as you were getting and preparing each season, you know, the things that you had to go through training wise to protect your athletes. I think that's really true. And we need to be always growing in the way in our skills so that we can protect our folks, you know, to be able to guide them, teach them how to study scripture. You know, I think about some of the college kids that I worked with that were, they would get one thing that they learned in scripture and they would become super dogmatic about that one thing and not even think about the rest of scripture as a whole. That's just one thing that comes to mind that we need to protect our folks from.
Yeah, I love what you said, because when we think about the how we protect people, you know, we really have to think of ourselves as, you know, we are more of a guide than we are anything else. We guide people to safety. And, you know, like a shepherd would guide a flock to safe pasture, but you can't force people to eat. You can't force people to grow. You can't force people to take care of themselves. But we can guide people into a place where they can do that.
Well, and, you know, there's, as we're going through the times that we are right now, there are people that are having to make lots of decisions. And I think one of the things that we do as ministers is to help them to grow in their trust in God and studying scripture so that they can make wise decisions in some of this. You know, and so guiding them through scripture and helping them as they make decisions, I think is a big deal for me.
Right. I think so. So part of the role of us as protector is really even in our messages, we are guiding people and protecting our flock, because if we're teaching them truthfully and accurately, we are equipping our people. And that's something that's just really important for us to remember. And there are troubled times. You know, I would certainly call this a time of trouble. And one of our roles, and I think the biggest reason that this subject, I think, has come up for me is we have this role. I mean, this is a role that we are heavily invested in now, is that we are to guide our people through these troubled waters that, you know, we're all facing right now.
Well, and one of the things, Alan, that you had put in our notes today as we're preparing for this is building that sense of security. And that really strikes a chord with me is, you know, we want our folks there because of the troubled times that we're going through. I think that people are struggling and desiring, longing for something that's stable, right? And they're looking for that. And so we want to guide them toward Jesus, because he is stable. I love that scripture says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's, you know, we can count on our God.
Well, and that idea of safety and security is just so important. People are going to want, when we are able to meet back together, and I think, you know, that in Oklahoma, you're opening up faster than we are here in Colorado, but you know, you have to be able to communicate what you're doing to keep people safe and secure as you reopen. You're having to think through new protocols and all those kinds of things. And what are you doing? You're actually providing a sense of security for your people. And that's important. Those are things that we should be involved in doing and thinking about often.
And Alan, as you're saying that, I want to put in a plug for, I think it was our last podcast that we put out, special one about decisions that churches need to think through before they open up. I think that was a great list of questions that Mr. Brady put out. And, you know, so I want to encourage people to go back and listen to that, because we are, you're right, Alan, we're trying to build that sense of security. We're working through protocols to be able to help our people feel like, hey, they can come back to church.
Certainly, that is huge. And so, you know, our first role, and it's easy to think about it, is that that first place where we begin is in this idea that we are a spiritual protector of our flock. You mentioned having someone come and say, God told me I need to come speak to your church. And you're like, who are you? What do you believe? What do you stand for? And boy, we get those too. And yeah, if God hasn't told me, it's not happening.
That's right. Yeah. We're kind of the gatekeeper, you know, and we recognize that some of our people are young in their faith and easily swayed or distracted from growing in Christ. And they get hung up on that. And I always hate that as a pastor to have to go follow up a speaker, even some that I've invited to be there. And then I have to go put out the fires that have caused people to, I don't know, struggle with their faith after that. And that's tough. So you're right. We are a spiritual protector, and we have to recognize where our people are vulnerable. That comes from getting to know your flock well.
Yeah. And I love what you had mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, when you were working with college students, that how they could take one passage of scripture and just focus in so much on that they would become dogmatic about that and miss the counsel of the totality of scripture. And that's, you know, that's a great example too. People are vulnerable, not just because someone can sway them, but at times because they can get tunnel vision, or they can get sidetracked or sideswiped or something like that in their own faith. And that's a great example of us recognizing where people are vulnerable. That's why, you know, when we see these movements and they happen every now and then, I remember, gosh, it's probably been 20 years or so ago, but the prayer of Jabez. Do you remember that, Trent? When that was really popular. And, you know, every church and every Bible study was on the prayer of Jabez. And it's a short little prayer in the Bible, and it is certainly noteworthy. But I don't think it was wise for there to be so much fanfare about that one particular verse in the Bible, because people would get sidetracked on that prayer of bless me, Father, bless me, bless me, bless me. And so many people took that to the wrong place. And we have to be mindful and recognize that people tend to do that. And so we have to be careful when we see these kind of undercurrents where everything kind of gets pushed into one category or one way of thought like that.
We'll be right back to today's conversation in just a few moments. We'd like to thank our ministry partner, IMD International. They're building leaders all around the world, engaging them one heart at a time. Reach out to them at imdinternational.org. Now back to today's conversation.
Yeah, we don't want to build an entire theology on one, you know, one verse in Scripture. And so we have to be careful with that. And I know there's a lot of pressure, especially on younger pastors, to follow the trends and the, you know, whatever somebody has put out a book this month. And so you're like, oh yeah, I'm all in, I'm going to do that. Well, you need to be studying Scripture for yourself. And so that makes me think about my comments to my church family. I have to be aware and be careful with the things, because I am leading my people to believe and walk in a certain way. And, you know, Alan, I've got to just admit there have been times that I've looked back over the course of my ministry and thought, oh my goodness, why did I say that? After I've, you know, as I grow in my faith and I look back and I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have been teaching that. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I sure have.
Sadly, I would agree that I've done that as well. You know, we have to be careful with our comments. There are times we see our people struggling with something in their faith, and instead of really trying to protect and guide and encourage our people, we kind of tend to take the club and beat them down a little bit, and we need to be careful about that. You know, that's why we did the podcast a few weeks ago on being an encouraging pastor, and I think that was a really important one. I'd encourage, if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that one. But we have to be careful with our comments and our theology and all those kinds of things, because we are, again, we're to guide people through the troubled waters, and people get into trouble. Sometimes it's not their fault. Sometimes it is their fault, but we still have to love them and guide them through it. And so what we do is that we're trying to equip people to care for themselves first so they can care for others. You know, it's like on the airplane. If you need a breathing apparatus, you put it on yourself first, and then you put it on the children or whatever and help others, right? But to be healthy spiritually, we've got to equip people to care for themselves first, and then they're able to care for others.
You're right, Alan. We want people to be growing in their faith and not be spiritual babies. You know, they may have accepted Jesus or trusted in him years ago, but still be a one-year-old or an infant in their faith. And so First Peter, I believe it is, talks about that, you know, God's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us all the tools. We've got to be able to teach our people how to use those tools. And Ephesians chapter 4 says that we're to be equipping our people to do works of service. And so we want to do that. We want to equip our people to take care of themselves and to serve others as well.
And so I think when we think about our role as a spiritual protector, I think a lot of pastors get that. I think a lot of pastors are quick to jump on that kind of protective mindset. But one of the things I've come to recognize through this pandemic breakout that we've been dealing with is that I have a greater role as a physical protector than I ever imagined. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, Alan, I sure have. And it's caused me to have a lot of discussions with our leadership, and a lot of time, just Dana and I talking too. How does this work out for us? And so I know that you've been having those same discussions, haven't you?
Right. I mean, who are going to be some of the first people who are going to show back up in our services are the very people that we're encouraging to not show up yet. And I'm trying to figure out, what do I do about it? I don't have an awful lot of control over that, really.
Right. And we care about those, especially our senior citizens that are a part of our church and that have such a great heart and encouragers for us. And so how do we protect them physically? How do we keep them well? And it reminds me, I've said this a lot to parents, and I think that this may be true in this case too, is that our God is big enough to protect people, and he can protect them way better than we can. But as pastors, we do have to be wise. We've got to be thinking through the things that we do. Alan, you've been encouraging me to rethink the greeting time that we have at our church and how we do that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of decisions we have to make.
Right, just even down to do you pass an offering plate? I don't think we're passing one anytime soon, right? You're going to have some kind of box or something probably for a while where you receive offerings so people aren't passing things from one person to another. Do you prop doors open? How do you deal with all the different aspects that you've got to deal with? But we have this responsibility to protect our people physically. And it doesn't matter what your viewpoint is on the virus and how it should be handled or any of those kinds of things. We have a responsibility to protect our flock. And I think even going forward, even when we come into flu season and things like that, that we're going to approach things and handle things differently than we have in the past because of we recognize there's a role in caring for our people.
Yeah, we have to. We have to do things differently, I guess, just because our people have been exposed to the fear and we don't want to go back there. We have to make some decisions and look differently. Tom Rainer had put out a email not too long ago that said that your church is a blank slate. And I remember reading that thinking, yeah, our church is open to change more right now than it's ever been in its existence. And our church has been around for 80 plus years. And so we are a blank slate, and lots of decisions have to be made.
Yeah. And I'll take you back to years past, Trent. It wasn't that long ago that if a pastor heard, for instance, that a dad had maybe beat up his child or his wife, that the attitude was, well, what happens at home stays at home. You let the home deal with that. And we recognize that the role of ministry, you can't do that. You can't sit by and let someone beat up on other people. And so then there's that responsibility. Not only do I have to address it, but I have to go to the law enforcement about those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And that's right. That's how it should be. And we have a responsibility, just in the same way, to remember that there are people who are physically vulnerable in our church, and we have to care for those people, and we need to be mindful. So again, we have to be careful with our comments, and that's true for us as pastors, because I've seen a lot of pastors who are putting out some pretty ridiculous statements, and stoking some fires that probably shouldn't be stoked right now.
Yeah, you hear that from time to time. And, you hope that sometime in the future, those same people will look back and say, oh, man, I really, got athlete's tongue there and I shouldn't have said that, because it's just like with children. They're always watching us. Our church family is always watching us, and we have to be careful with our comments. Are we growing them in a relationship with God, or are we hurting their relationship with God? Are we growing them in a relationship to other believers, or are we hurting that relationship? And so we always have to be careful with our comments.
I think you're exactly right with that. Well, you know, here, Trent, I think, do you agree with this? Or, and I'm not completely sure how I feel, but this is what I wrote, so we're going to say it. I think this is where you kind of flip it a little bit, though, when we're thinking about our role as the physical protector of our church, is that we have to equip people first to care for others and then care for themselves. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, and I hope that you'll kind of expand a little bit more about that. But yeah, there is that element of, you know, we've got to give them tools enough to grow in their faith individually. And I think that always overflows into caring for other people. Jesus, again, we use this, and a lot of churches say this. Jesus is asked, what are the most important things? Love God and love other people. He doesn't say love yourself in those two things. And so, yeah, I think you're right. Some of that's got to bleed over into serving other people.
Yeah, and I think what that means too that is look, are a lot of people healthy? A lot of people never going to feel like the consequences of the pandemic or any of those kinds of things. True. That's all true. But we're doing it because we do care for others. It's not so much about me and putting the emphasis on someone else besides myself. And I think that's the role as when we think about equipping our church to think about others is, sure, no big deal, right? I've got people who every time they come up and see me, they're, I'm going to shake your hand because that's just what I do. Well, you know, when we open our church back up, don't do that, please. Mm-hmm. You know, because you could make someone very uncomfortable. You don't know who's vulnerable. You don't know who just went to the doctor and was told that something's going on in their body that makes them even more vulnerable. You don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've got to equip people to care for others. You know, and then recognize, you know, if you're caring for others, you're going to take better care of yourself as well.
That's true, Alan. It makes me think about the passages in Scripture that talk about not causing your brother to stumble. You know, it's talking about not eating meat sacrificed to idols. And it's, you know, it's not that big a deal, but it causes other people to struggle. And, you know, our decisions, our actions, our words can cause other people to struggle. This past week, when I was talking with my church family, I mentioned that there were three groups of people that I had to think about every time that I wanted to go out and do my own thing and say the heck with this staying at home thing. And that was my senior citizens. I wanted to protect them. And so I would put aside myself in order to protect them. Second was my high school seniors, those people that are graduating, and I wanted them to experience all the blessings and fun and adventure of life. And so I would put myself aside so that I could help them to get over through this faster so that they could move on and enjoy life. And the third was my grandson who's coming soon. And, you know, I want to do everything I can to be with him. And so I'm going to try to be wise in that. And so as we think through this, I think we do need to think of other people.
And hopefully that will help us understand our role better as the protector of our flock. And we want to thank you for joining us today. Pastors, you have a huge responsibility, and we want to come alongside you and help you fulfill that responsibility. So reach out to us. Let us know how we can come alongside you and help you. And if we can come along and offer you a church consultation, we'll look at all the areas of your church and see how you can do better and how you can kind of accelerate change while change is on the horizon. So thanks again for joining us. We are so glad that you're a part of this podcast every week. Trent, do you have any final words?
No, we do appreciate that. And I would say if there's something that you're really struggling through, you need just somebody to come alongside you and pray with you, please contact us on our Facebook page or enduringchurches.com.